Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, December 11th, not the 12th yet, and we are back on our regular scheduled time with the regular scheduled program. We just came to you this past Friday night for our latest. We had some delays, but this week we're here on Tuesday getting you all the sports information you need from the world of professional football this past weekend, as well as the NBA and much, much more. I will be joined once again by our co-host Jonathan Birdsong here momentarily. Quite a bit of landscape changing in the NFL this past weekend, with some of the top teams performing well and some of the top teams performing poorly. The playoff picture has kind of tightened up a little bit more with not much room to breathe, including the Indianapolis Colts, who have big games, playoff-like games the rest of the way for them. So we'll dive into that once Jonathan gets here with Terry. We're going to do a quick ad read, and then we'll get going into it.
Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's dronepromedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights.
All right. Thank you once again to Drone Pro Media, as well as Blog Talk Radio, our two sponsors for the show. Blog Talk Media. Or radio makes it all possible for us to come to you guys every single week. So shout out to them. Doing some quick hitters, I guess, before Jonathan gets on with us. Looking at the NBA update. Actually, we got John right here, so give us one moment. John, my man, how are you?
Brandon Reeves, sorry I'm a little late, man. Having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to try to send you the old text, say, hey, do you remember it's Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, we're so reliant on power cords and having, you know, things powered up that I failed to give my phone a little juice. But I'm back. I'm ready to talk sports.
All right, perfect. We'll dive right in with the NFL. Interesting week 14 we just had, as both playoff races in the AFC and the NFC both start to heat up, and we'll start off with the hometown team, the Indianapolis Colts, with a huge win against the Houston Texans, and I believe I had the score correct, 27-24.
But you didn't go with the Colts, though.
I did not. I went with the Houston Texans, but I got the score, so I got half of it right.
I got you. Half better than none.
What was your impressions of the game Sunday?
You have to walk away if you're a Colts fan. Obviously, you walk away feeling a little bit better as the season progresses. I do still think that some of the at least two games that the Colts played this year, they're going to kind of come back to haunt them. The Cincinnati game, which I know was the first game, and the Jacksonville game, which was the game before that. But they kind of quieted some of their critics to because, man, they do. Brandon, there were people that were trying to compare Frank's decision making to Chuck Pagano, and I want to hammer this home. If anybody listening is beating that drum, like Frank Reich and Chuck Pagano are in two different worlds as far as coaching is concerned. And you know, but like I said, the Colts bounced back with a very impressive victory over a very hot, red hot Texas team that had beat everybody, including the Colts, when they first started their streak. So you have to feel good about the Colts going further. Again, they do not necessarily have an easy road to try to make the playoffs. They have, you know, they got another hot team coming this Sunday in Dallas, and then they have another seemingly somewhat lukewarm team in the Giants.
Yep.
That they have, and then they end with Tennessee. So But the Tennessee game is not a home game, so they kind of have to end on the road. But we do have faith in these Colts teams. Have faith in the defense played an even better game, except for some of the wrong calls by the officials. But
yeah.
Andrew Luck won't get MVP, but he should probably be in the top three.
Okay.
As far as consideration is concerned. So that's kind of my assessment of the game. I know you can break it down. I know T.Y. Hilton kind of owned the secondary.
That's your boy. That's your boy, yeah,
well,
T.Y. Hilton.
I never said T.Y. Hilton wasn't fast. I never said T.Y. Hilton couldn't catch. I just say sometimes T.Y. Hilton chooses to show up, but against the Texans, he clowned. I can't think of a better word, but
he does every year against the Texans. He destroys them. There was I'm trying to think of the year. Was it 3 years ago? It was a Thursday night game in Houston where him and Andrew Luck just lit up the Texans on a comeback, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're actually right. I don't know the exact stats that he had that particular game, but yeah, he has a good game. He has great games actually against the Texans. For whatever reason. But still, they still need, Colts still need some things. I'm pretty sure they'll address them in the offseason. But as far as that win is concerned, to beat the division, who's currently in the division driver's seat, to beat the Texans is definitely a step going in the right direction.
Yeah. You're cutting out a little bit there. I don't know if you're away from your phone or not, but you're a little choppy there. Looking at this, at the Colts, T.Y. was nine catches on 12 attempts or look ats. What the hell is the word I'm even looking for? I don't even know what the word I'm looking for. 12 targets, 9 catches, 199 yards, no touchdown. Looked good. Especially after being questionable to play this past Sunday. They're going to need that T.Y. Hilton the rest of the way if they want to make it to the postseason. And we talked about it a week ago. Every game now here on out is pretty much like a playoff game for Indianapolis. And it gets a little bit harder this week with Dallas coming in, who's another hot team. And you put the curse on Dallas weeks ago, and they haven't lost since you put the curse on them.
Well, they ain't beating the Colts on Sunday.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Some Colts news from the week, from the day. A surprise move in my mind is the Colts waived tight end Eric Swoop. He played decent throughout the season. Yes, he had about three or four tight ends there, which you weren't going to keep all four. Mo Alley Cox apparently has earned his playing time enough to where they can cut Swoop. So that was the transaction of the day for the Colts.
They're gonna need all the help they can get going further.
Yeah. Moving to the next recap game we have, we might as well not wait any further for probably the most exciting game of the week. We also known as the Miami Miracle. The Patriots going down to Miami and losing on a crazy play.
Yeah, every year, I want to say every year is at least 3 years. You're going 3 years back. Miami finds a way to beat the Patriots somehow, some way.
Yep.
They pulled another stunner off again this year. Speaks to that team's inconsistency of being because I think they streaked at one point. They won like four in a row this year, but consistency. And I don't know if that necessarily points at the coach or the quarterback. But they do have. I've said it before. They have talent there. It's just the consistency, and I just wish sometimes, can the coach feel whatever film or whatever game plan that they do to or scheme to beat the Patriots, because the coach haven't beat. I'm talking personally, now as a fan of
right.
the coach, but Miami's got. They're sitting in the driver's seat as far as where they need to. They need to win. They need to kind of win out. But the good news for them is that they got an easier schedule ahead of them.
Yeah, they do. I was at work as the game was going on, and in a meeting when my phone started blowing up with this play, so I instantly went to social media, and thank God for social media, they'll give you the play instantly. And complete shock. But it shocked but not shocked, because Miami always has New England's number, whether it's the warm weather, whether it's South Beach nightlife. New England does not come to play when it comes to playing at Miami, and it's crazy how that happens every year.
It was kind of goofy call when Belichick put in Gronk.
Yeah, there's no way Tannehill's going to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand putting Gronk in when you have an often injured star player like that. We all know Gronk's a different maker now. We do know that. Not saying Tom Brady ain't, you know, GOAT. Not saying that that Bill Belichick ain't GOAT right either. But like, they are a different team with Gronk. So why put him out there? Why put him in a position to where he can, in a natural position to that? He probably played his defensive back since, you know, they great.
Right.
You know, so kind of. I know that's been some questionable calls. Nobody's going to fully question Bill Belichick unless the Patriots don't have a total collapse and lose the first, you know, first round of the playoffs or something crazy like that. But I don't know, some kooky things going on there in New England.
It's very not New England-like. A lot of things this year are very not New England-like that's going on throughout the season, including this play with Belichick.
Do you think those guys – well, it's too late in the season to be having fun, right? Which is all seriousness. Do you think some of those guys take those comments seriously that the Philadelphia Eagles may hate when they say, hey, those guys ain't having fun? Like, I don't – like, well, we can see what fun has made for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? They're looking out. But last year, I'm assuming, you know, I mean, some of those words kind of appear, like players kind of – I think there might be some things that ring true with that. And I don't know. I just don't get why he put him in. I don't know.
Right.
My
opinion – I think if you're New England, if you're the players, if you're the coaches, you do whatever you have to do just to get to the playoffs. Everything's going to work itself out in the end. You're going to win the division every year. That's pretty much a given. Yeah, the Dolphins are only two games back with three to play, but you coast, you do what you got to do. You rest players throughout the season because you know if you're New England, you're going to be in the playoffs. If you have
right.
Tom Brady, you know you're going to be in the playoffs. I think they're coasting. I do. And it wasn't even a coast, really. If you look at Gronkowski and Brady's stats, I mean, they both had great games, especially on a fantasy perspective. I just think it's a fluke play. And
the
sad part about this is next week, Belichick's players are probably going to be pretty pissed off going to next week's game.
You know what, Brandon? They lost the Super Bowl in fluke plays. So
they did. They did. But they've also won it on a fluke play, too.
You're right. You know, you're right. You're absolutely right what you're saying. It's the narrative you're going with. New England's going to be fine. I doubt. The Miami Dolphins have to win two games. They got three to play.
Yeah.
They have to win two. They have to win two to make play. I don't think Miami Dolphins can win two games.
I don't think they can either. Looking at your Titans, the Titans from Thursday night. Well, we talked about that game on Friday, so we'll skip that one. Jets beat Buffalo. I was kind of shocked that the Jets were able to pull that off on a fourth quarter comeback. The Browns beating the Panthers. John, I'm almost ready to put Ron Rivera on the hot seat.
Ah, man. You know, there's a disconnect. I don't know if we put Ron. I can't say that I could put him on the hot seat. I was kind of more so looking at it a different way. Not necessarily. I know this has been somewhat of a down year for the Panthers as far as expectations concerned. But I look at the Browns, and, man, eventually that talent, you know, is going to show peak out. And they got their quarterback set. And, you know, he's still somewhat – I mean, he's a young guy, and he's still somewhat of emotional. He gives the press tidbits and whatnot, and he still takes things personal and whatnot. And as a fan of the Cleveland, you should be invested in, because, like, now your team is winning, and now the team is heading in the positive direction. Hopefully they can add some more dynamic pieces to make that team even more interesting. I know what we're saying, we're talking about the Cleveland Browns being interesting, right?
Right.
But they're still a little bit, they're still a little bit of ways off from the playoffs. But I think the Cleveland, talking about Cleveland now, still a little ways off from the playoffs. But teams, the team looks. I mean, I know Brandon. We're talking about Cleveland Browns look good. Going into next year, Cleveland Browns look good. I'm not saying they can win it. Well, even with the shakiness of your Pittsburgh Steelers being good, I'm not saying they're going to win the AFC North next year. But the Cleveland Browns look real good going further. And it's good that they're not just laying down, waiting, to pick whoever comes out of Oklahoma or Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I ask is because it almost looked like the Panthers had this game won. And here's my thing. It's not the first time that Rivera this year has had an issue with that. You played a Tampa team that Tampa's going to be getting a new coach next year. Dirk Koetter will not be there. And you should have beat them. You played Seattle at home. You should have beat them. You lost by 3. You played the Lions. You went for 2 instead of going for 1, and you were the better team. You played Pittsburgh on the national stage on a Thursday night, and you got thumped by 31 points. They're on a 5-game losing streak right now, and it does not get easier. You have New Orleans, Atlanta, and New Orleans. If they lose these last 3 games, I think Ron Rivera gets fired, losing 8 straight games to end the season.
I think you're right. If they do go 0-3, now, if you can't muster up, and they can't go 500 now, right? But if he can muster up, he needs to muster up 2 wins. But
you started 4-1. You started 4-1, and you're getting ready to get your 6th loss next week.
You're right. He might be on the hot seat, and they'll bring in some young hot shot because Cam is too young and still too good, and the team's still too good to kind of waste another season.
Yep, that's one of my things to watch. Ron Rivera, possible hot seat, getting fired. Right now, he would be on a confidence scale. I would say it'd be very high.
Brandon, your boy's on a hot seat.
Who?
Donaldson.
Well, we'll get to him. We'll get to that game here shortly.
I didn't want
to
leapfrog that, but he's got to be on a hot seat. But go ahead, man. Go down the line.
We'll get to it. Packers, 34-20 win with John Philbin, the interim coach. I don't know if you saw any of this game. By the way, Dan Quinn, you are now on the hot seat as well, I feel, in Atlanta. Even though your owner, Arthur Blank, says you're good and it's the players. No, it may be the coach. But the Packers, John Philbin may be the biggest idiot I've ever seen. Number one, he started Jamal Williams over Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been a relevant player week after week after week after week for this Packers team. And scoring touchdowns, getting yardage. And they didn't even start him, John. And what are they doing at halftime? They're struggling. So they go and put Aaron Jones in the second half. And my God, he gets touchdowns and runs for a lot of yards. So, do you really want the job, Philbin? Like, it was a head scratcher of a game. I went back and watched some of it Sunday night. And then the Falcons, just Julio had 2 touchdowns. Yeah, there's no running game. Tevin Coleman's nowhere to be seen. I'm thinking of the basketball player. Ito Smith, nowhere to be found. This Falcons team is underperforming once again. And I think Dan Quinn is my second coach on the hot seat.
I think they have a part in the ways. You can only live off so many Super Bowls. If you win the Super Bowl, it's one thing. But if you come in second, you can only live off that for so long.
Yep.
Where we at with Atlanta?
Yeah. The Chiefs and Ravens. Chiefs win in overtime, 27-24. Patrick Mahomes continues to dazzle, a no-look pass, which was incredible. I've never seen anything like that before. And they find a way to win. They extend their lead over the Patriots now. They are going to be the number one seed by all means. They're up 2 games with 3 to play. Baltimore loses. They go to 7-6 now, a half game back still of Pittsburgh. I will tell you this. The AFC North will have a completely different look next season. I will leave it at this. You're going to have three new coaches in the AFC North next season. It's going to be Cleveland for sure. It's going to be Cincinnati when they fire Marvin Lewis at the end of the year. And it's either going to be John Harbaugh or it's going to be Mike Tomlin. One of those two, whoever does not win the division, will be fired.
But, hold on. Let's slow down. You said fire who?
Tomlin. And John Harbaugh, both. One of them will be fired, whoever does not win the division.
Marvin Lewis is not getting fired.
He's going to have to. He ain't getting a pass.
They don't care in Cincinnati.
I know we say this every season, but at some point that owner's got to get off his ass and decide, hey, we need a new leadership here. He's been there how many years?
He's been there
like
forever.
15?
I think ownership.
I think I was in high school when he was there.
Yeah. Ownership doesn't care.
Now, I'm surprised you're not as shocked about that as I said Mike Tomlin, because you know the Steelers, it's you keep your coach, you work through it.
I don't think Mike Tomlin gets fired. I think Mike Tomlin resigns.
After this season, or he goes one more year?
Because
I will tell you this. I believe he goes out the same time that Ben goes out. I think they go together. And that could be after this season.
But Brandon, even with the drama that they removed, they're too good of an offensive team to be losing in this manner.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. You look at this. Let's go ahead and just do this game right now. They lost to the Raiders 24-21. The defense did not show up to play, which has been notorious last year, but they've been showing signs this year. The problem with the quarterback play, yeah, Ben got hurt at halftime. Their x-ray equipment is from the freaking Stone Age, where you couldn't even get an x-ray to show Ben what the hell happened with his ribs, and it took over 45 minutes to get the x-ray results. But Dobbs comes in, can't move the ball. The defense can't do jack. Yep, Ben came in, scored a touchdown, got the head to her heroics like he did against Cincinnati in the playoff game in 2017, I think. And Juju gets them down on a flea flicker trick play, just like Miami. They get down in field goal range, and then whatever this Astro turf / mix that's in the ground, Boswell slips and falls. Steelers get the field goal blocked. Yeah, they're losing.
Right.
They've on a three-game losing streak on very unconventional ways. And if a coach can't get that fixed, maybe it's time for him to go. I like Mike Tomlin. I'll be the first to vouch for him. I do like him because you know why, John? I look at all the other coaches in the league right now. Who can come in and step in and take that job and do better than what he's doing right now? Yes, I know he's a defensive coach, and the defense has sucked the last 3 years. But also, you lost your coordinator with Dick LeBeau, and you went to Keith Butler. Yeah, you kept him on the staff because you didn't want to have hard feelings when he was the linebackers coach. But I don't see anybody else out there to get that can fill in. Now, Mike McCarthy's name has been talked about. But if you look. Him and
McCarthy,
if you look at McCarthy, go ahead.
McCarthy would be a name that would probably get bantied about first. I can't.
But he's the same as Big Ben. He's the same as him. He's the same as Tomlin.
You know
the last time
what?
Those two went to the Super Bowl, they were the same year, 2010, when they played. They both have a great quarterback and a piss poor defense. They've also had the playoff games at home, and they've lost. McCarthy and Tomlin both have had it. So, to me, they're the same coach, literally.
There's somebody out there, Brandon. Somebody out there. probably on Pete Carroll's staff.
I'm not at that point yet. Well, you know
there's
what?
You don't want nothing out of the Patriot family tree. You know how that rolls.
I know.
That magic works only in Foxborough. You don't want nothing out of that Patriot family tree. So.
Here's my thing, John.
There's somebody out there.
the Steelers are 7-5-1, three games left. The hardest schedule remaining in the NFL belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have New England Patriots, the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, and then home against Cincinnati, which, okay, they'll be fine with that one. For the Steelers to make the playoffs, they got to win at least two out of these last three. You either have to get New England or you have to get New Orleans, one of the two. I'm almost at that point, John, where I would rather us not make the playoffs. We're not good enough to be in the playoffs.
You're already getting compensational picks. So,
but we're not good enough. I don't – this team – I guess, personally, as a Steeler fan, I don't want this team going to the playoffs to build up my hope and then to have it crushed once again by our defense sucking because our offense can't keep on scoring points all the time. This team has lost three games that they should have won all three, the Chargers, the Raiders, and I'm losing the third game. Who did they lose to?
You already said the Chargers and the Raiders. They lost.
Yeah.
They beat Tampa Bay.
Denver. Because Denver just took a shellacking from the 49ers. Crazy. But here's the thing. Denver, they had a late lead. What happened? They gave it up. Lost. They had a lead against Chargers. What happened? Gave it up. Lost. They had a lead against Oakland. They gave it up and lost. This is very anti-Pittsburgh Steeler time right now when you've lost three in a row. Yeah. Some of the players have called them out this week saying, hey, we need people to start playing harder, get their head out of their ass, and start playing. But it shouldn't take week 15 in the regular season when you got Tom freaking Brady coming to town.
I'll tell you what. The only way Thompson comes back is if they make some roster moves. Nothing major where they trade, nothing crazy where they trade Ben Roethlisberger, but they need the depth at certain positions. They really don't have depth at quarterback. If you don't believe in the back, not to be cocky, but the Colts kind of deep at quarterback, right?
I do have faith in the quarterback, the backup. Not that one. Mason Rudolph, I have confidence in.
You have to play. Oh wow! Well, that's newsbreaker. I don't know, man. They're gonna have to make some changes.
Yeah, so I'm going to put you.
They got to make some commitments.
I agree.
That'd be the only way he comes back.
I have a question for you that I wrote down on top of my list, and I'm going to give a little rant about it, and then I'm going to ask you the question. So, John, it is Steelers Patriots week, and leading up to it every year, I look for the Patriots on the schedule to see when we're going to play them. It was 1 year ago, this coming Sunday, the Jesse James play. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Then the pick, the Smith-Schuster 70 yards down the field. John, I spent all afternoon today. I watched the game in its entirety all over again today. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Why do I, every Sunday before we play New England, I start out with, Week before it or that Sunday, no hope. Monday comes around, maybe a little hope. Tuesday comes around, I feel pretty good a little bit. You know, we're about 30-40%. As the week continues to build, I keep getting more and more hope against New England that we have a chance to beat them. We're gonna beat them. We're gonna do it. And like last year on Sunday, my heart got ripped out late in the fourth quarter. Listen to Jim Nance, Tony Romo as they freaking picked us off in the end zone. It wasn't a touchdown. So I'm trying not to do that to myself again this year, but I'm already starting to feel that way where I feel like we have a chance, but I'm telling myself not to because there's no way we can beat New England. So my question to you is, why should I have hope that the Steelers can beat New England this week?
Because they still want to make the majority part of the team still wants to make the playoffs.
Okay, so last year we had the shot to where
those guys,
we had a chance to win first host AFC championship.
You know, the season's hard and long. I think they run into an issue where they want to kind of coast through the season, and then kind of hawk up and play, you know, good defense. But dude, you can't do that, or triple. We can't do that. So they're going. Did the Saints look unbeatable? I mean, I noticed they looked unbeatable like the first seven. Well, no, they didn't. After they got out of their funk, but now the Saints look beatable. You're telling me New England's kind of coasting too, because they're kind of like, you know, all right, I'm going to be the 2 seed instead of the 1 seed. That we're fine with that. Okay. So, it's possible. The Saints do not look unbeatable. And you said you got to win 2 out of 3. So there you go. There
you do. Go. I keep making.
Cincinnati is some chumps, and Baltimore is a you know, one rookie quarterback interception away from John Harbaugh keeping his job or losing his job.
Yeah. You look at the Baltimore Ravens. They play Tampa this week. I don't see a problem with that being at home. They go to San Diego on the Saturday before Christmas for the night game. That will be a tough one. And then they finish the season with the Browns. So,
right.
Interesting for them.
Harbaugh ain't looking to get fired. He's got a plan. If he does get fired, or where he's going to go next, he's a football guy, man. I don't even see that guy taking a minute to, well, maybe a minute to go in the booth for a second. Everybody likes to put on the headset, right? See what that money's like. But that dude's a football guy, and he's going to find another football home if he gets asked to go away.
Yeah, I agree. But am I stupid for building up this hype that I believe that we can actually beat the Patriots? Because we can't every year. We every year I get let down by this team.
What is so? Why, how does the Patriots slip and have these momentary lapses? I mean, I know. Listen, they own the coach. They own Andrew Luck's coach, right? But I don't know how the Patriots have these lapses where they get beat by these clearly inferior teams.
It doesn't do. I'll tell you this: it does not do the Steelers any favors that the Dolphins beat the Patriots.
It would be really interesting if the Patriots had to play the Chargers this year. I ain't saying – I'm just saying it's going to be interesting. I'm not saying the Chargers are going to beat them. This is a little bit more completer, if that's a word. It'll be the night team that I first reckoned the Chargers are.
Mm-hmm. So I'm building up hope.
Don't worry.
And I'll get my heart ripped out. Yeah, but you know what? I want to beat New England. I want redemption from last year with that catch from Jesse James. That was a touchdown. I watched it probably 15 more times this afternoon. And I tweeted, I don't know why I do it to myself every year with this New England team. That play will haunt me the rest of my life until we beat New England in a playoff game to go to the Super Bowl, which...
Oh, wow.
I don't even think this team – I will tell you right now, this team is not good enough to go to the Super Bowl the way they're playing right now. I mean, yeah, that's obvious because they've lost 3 straight games. But the offense can't do it all. I've said that before this season started, that the offense couldn't do it all. The defense needs to step up. They have not done it the last 3 games. And now is not the time for this to be happening when Tom Terrific is coming to town this Sunday. So that's enough of my Steelers talk. I'll have hope, and then I'll be crushed on Sunday night. Everybody will see it, and then we'll go to Tuesday's show, and I'll be like, hey, I told you so. Why did I cheer for this? Why did I think we could beat them? Looking at the other games, Bears and Rams. I just blame it on the Rams can't play in cold weather. That's my thing.
You know, I meant to look up to see what family tree Nagy came from, the Kansas City family tree, right?
Correct.
Like, hold on. Where did McVay come from?
The Washington family tree.
Okay. Well, evidently, there's like, I don't know, starting the game, I kind of watched guys' eyes and kind of watched how guys coach, that is, how they pace back and forth, or if they're pacing, or how they're engaging their team. And I don't know, man, McVay kind of seemed to be a little worried. For whatever reason, my personal opinion. You can go. I mean, I take notes on certain things, and he seemed to be a little worried. They went away from what makes their team special during the second half. The running back makes their team go. Okay, Goff, and I'll get back to Nagy here in a second. Goff was confused all game because whatever package Nagy's obviously great. He's a defensive guy, had to be for Kansas City. But whatever they dialed up, they had Goff's number. They had Goff's number all night. They had him confused all night. And it kind of made me think about the pecking order of who's, like, I know usually the quarterback's supposed to be the leader of the team, and he is. He's a confident leader, but he's their third best player. I know. Mm-hmm. He's their third best player. But he looked horrible, and he got, like I said, they had his number last night. And Chicago, like I said, I guess you could still – defense still wins championships. And Chicago should win the North Division. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that in a second. But Chicago should win the North Division. But Trubisky's going to – he plays sloppy. Just the fact that Goff plays sloppy. That's why Chicago won the game. But that defense – That defense is legit.
Yeah. You're banging something legit. Around. I hear you. I can hear you banging something.
I'm sorry. That defense is legit. Super Bowl contention legit. But the quarterback ain't. I'm telling you. The quarterback's not.
Three games I passed, and I think all three coaches are on the hot seat, as I've said all season long. Dirk Koetter, hot seat. Jay Gruden now on the hot seat after they just got their asses thumped by the Giants. Yeah, you're without blank. Two quarterbacks, but still.
They got blanked.
That's bad. And no, with no Odell in playing, even. And the third one's Vance Joseph. You go to the 49ers and you take an L and you're in the playoffs hunt. Yeah. Not looking good for Vance.
Well, Brandon, he's staying in Michigan, so you can take him off the list.
Ooh. He ain't gonna go to. I can see him coaching Denver.
Jim Harbaugh said he's not leaving Michigan.
Okay.
Wiki, yeah.
Well, now he can.
Yeah,
he can now. The rivalry's dead, so he can definitely stay there. Speaking of dead, how about the highway robbery that is known as Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings? That was pitiful last night.
Don't get me started on Kirk Cousins.
That was pitiful.
Kirk Cousins, they can fire their offensive coordinator. They can fire their defensive coordinator. They can fire their special teams coach, running backs coach. They need to fire Kirk Cousins and the coach in Minnesota. If you're a Minnesota Viking fan, you ought to be disappointed. Very disappointed. I know I would be.
Yeah.
They had a magical season last year. And I get it, Case Keenum wasn't the guy that the coach wanted. That's clear to the story. I wish Case Keenum would come out. I mean, he ain't having a superstar great season now, but you know, teams are special like that.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, and then guess what? Minnesota probably should have just drafted a quarterback, young guy. And just had, you know, pressure on Case Keenum and then kind of transitioned the power instead of going after Kirk Cousins, who everybody thought was a deal. And Kirk Cousins is not the deal. Kirk Cousins in the past has had big deal games where he's looked like, oh, my gosh. But he's never done big deal things.
Yeah. Why is he cocky? He has no right to be cocky. What has he done?
You know what? He's like Vanderjack. I don't know. He's not a drunk, hopefully. But that's what he's like. He's like Vanderjack. He puts up big numbers, man, and he looks like he's going to come in the clutch. But Kirk Cousins, they should really try to part ways with Kirk Cousins. I know they can't, but they really should try to. They're better off just starting over.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to give you my one big prediction. I've got it now. If there was one thing, and this is on the level of me telling you, and you'll vouch for this, LeBron going to Miami and LeBron going back to Cleveland. Okay? This is that type of level prediction. The head coach of the Denver Broncos next season will be Lincoln Riley. Put that in your book. Remember that. Put that in your book, Lincoln Riley.
Okay. Denver's perfect. Denver's going to fire their coach this season.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fired. they're going through so much crap out there. They're going to have to, I mean, I'm sorry, but Case Keenum's not the, he's not going to be your full-time answer.
No.
They're going to have to find somebody. And I mean, draft-wise, they're not going to have a high draft pick, which it's not a very heavy quarterback class, so it most likely it's going to be free agency.
Yeah.
But I think Lincoln Riley, if he doesn't go to the Browns, or if he doesn't stay with Oklahoma, I can definitely see him being the head coach in Denver next year. So we'll bookmark that one.
Bookmark that for next year. I tend to agree with you.
Looking ahead this week's games, Thursday night we have a great one. The 10-3 Chargers, the 11-2 Chiefs for the AFC West, and the Chiefs can lock up first place in the AFC, home field advantage with the victory. I like this game. It's going to be great to watch, except for listening to Chris Collinsworth. But excuse me. It's not Collinsworth. It's Aikman and Joe Buck, but listening to Aikman. But I think the Chiefs get this one in a close game.
No, nah, man, Joe Buck, goodbye. Go back to baseball. But the Chiefs, they'll blow them out. It's going to be a
blow them out.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers going to come back to the earth? Hey, what do you think of Philip Rivers having nine kids?
More power to him.
More power to him.
Yeah.
Put a cap on it.
He's repopulating Earth.
There's plenty of people doing that already. He doesn't need to do it himself.
More power to him. That's what I think.
Packers at the Bears. 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Now, this is a false hope game. I can see the Bears somehow tripping up on this game. Actually, they just had a great one against the Rams.
I can too, because Aaron Rodgers owns them.
So I'm not crazy. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not crazy. Colts, Cowboys. 1 o'clock from Lucas Oil Stadium. Both teams are hot. Well, Colts were hot and then fell off and then nice win. Who do you got in this one?
I got the Colts. Cowboys come back to earth.
I am taking the Cowboys in this one.
Wow.
I think Dallas gets it.
Wow.
Something tells me I think the Cowboys
How do we go from Troy Aikman saying we got to tear us all down to now the Dallas Cowboys is going to win the NFC?
Amari Cooper, that's your answer.
Wow.
GM move of the year, getting Amari Cooper. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? And you know what? It kept Jason Garrett's job, even though you say he was good to begin with. Yeah. Other games, anything looking good? We talked about Patriots and Steelers. I guess I got to know a prediction. With Ben playing, who do you got? Who?
I got the Steelers.
Well, I appreciate the support. I mean, I can't go against this. I'd be stupid. And the one time I would, something would happen. So let's try again. Another year. Let's go Steelers. That's all I've. I don't know. I don't have a score prediction. It could be high. It could be low. I don't know. I'll tell you this, though. I'm in the fantasy football playoffs in my big league, and I'm playing the team that's won the title the last 4 years. So it's a big game for me to play them. I've got Brady and Ben both on my team, so I'm trying to figure out which one I want to play this week. Going to have the best game against each other. I feel like the safe bet would say Brady would have a better game. But Ben at home, and he'll chuck it, and we'll get some good. It'll be good Ben and bad Ben both. So, still trying to figure out what I'm gonna do with that. Sunday night game, Eagles Rams has a chance to be good. Has a chance. The Eagles are still sneaking their way in, possibly.
Yeah, the Eagles disappointed me last week. I'm going with the Rams because they gotta get back on. They gotta get their train going back. They look bad.
Yep. Absolutely,
Bears
I think.
Bad.
I think the Rams get it. And then Monday Night Football, Saints and Panthers from Carolina. I'm going upset here. I think the Panthers get it done.
I had no faith in them. I looked at the last next three games that the Panthers got to play, and the Saints wouldn't. I didn't have them beating the Saints.
You don't?
No.
Here's my thing. The only reason I'm taking them, and we just talked about Ron Rivera's job, Rivera can't afford to have this game lose. And I think the players know that too. They've lost five straight. They ain't going to lose a sixth. So I think they're the more hungry team. That's why I'm going with them.
I don't know. They don't look as good as the Saints. I ain't saying the Saints was – the Saints haven't looked that great the last two games. But they've won. So
yeah,
I'm taking the Saints.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Quick hitters before we go to some college football for the last 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. I got two things for you with the Chicago Bulls. Number one, a latest report came out that the Bulls have complained to the NBA Players Association about extreme practices after a back-to-back loss and how they're not on board with Jim Boylan. John, they just got beat by 70. What's your thoughts?
That's an embarrassment.
Michael Jordan's rolled over in his grave.
Yeah, he ain't dead yet. But no, and they look at it as like the young guys got their checks and just quit, or just happy with run and gun, and they're hoping. I mean, this is like actual fans, like. Like, people think that in 10 years it's going to be like Harlem Globetrotters where teams going to quit when they know they're out, when they know they are bested by a team. So if you're down, like 20, and you're just like, okay, well, F it, man. We already got our money. We'll just, you know. So, but losing, yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. The culture in Chicago, the ownership, I'm sorry, the current management group, Gar Hurd and Jim Paxson, They want this. They want the Jim Boylan type of way. But you haven't brought in those type of players that will play in those type of conditions. You have a team that's, you know, a very young team who's been exposed to, again, the culture that they had issues with Jimmy Butler, and they had issues with Dwayne Wade, and they, you know, so their locker room is not tight. Their locker room is, and unfortunately they've, the locker room, is bad. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, I couldn't find a word.
Right.
The locker room is bad. Locker room culture in Chicago is bad. They put money, invested money in Zach LaVine, big money in Zach LaVine and matching offers and whatnot. And he hasn't shown anything type of leadership or whatever. And let's be honest, Brandon, Zach LaVine is probably, if you're talking about building a contending playoff team or a championship team, Zach LaVine, to steal my man Stan Van Gundy's, Zach LaVine should be your fourth best player.
Yeah.
But you played him like a number two. So Chicago's culture, you know, it's not there. It's horrible. It's horrible. You're right. Michael Jordan rolled over in his grave. And then, like, so what are they going to do, Brandon? They're just going to have a rolling rotation of coaches. They've had six coaches in like the last 8 years, something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah. I think the best one they let go of.
They had similar mojo, right? When
Tibbs.
The Pacers fired Frank Vogel and when the Bulls fired Tibbs because the management group and the coaching staff was kind of on two different pages. The Pacers have bounced back from that. Whatever you want to call it, mistake or that chain, the Pacers bounced back from that chain. The Bulls are still floundering and like, what's going on here? And you have good players on your team. They pieces don't fit. But so who's to blame here? Because the fan base is still rich in Chicago. Let's be honest. The fan base is still rich in Chicago, and they want a contender. They want to hoist another. I don't know if they ever will hoist another one, Larry O'Brien, right? But they still believe that they can get there because they believed in the organization. They believe. I mean, the organization ultimately found Michael Jordan, right? At some, they also. I mean, Jerry. I'm sorry, Jerry Krause put the team together, and they're thinking they can get that same type of magic again, and they had it some mojo, right? with Derrick Rose and the Joakim Noah teams, right? But this is not that type of culture. That's exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I know key guys have been out, and I know, you know, now you fired the coach, but it's just a mess, man. I don't know. I don't even think they, at this point, trade. Anything that's traded, start over. Except for maybe Markin.
Are they trying to get Zion up there? Is that the starting thing they need to start with?
They're going
to
get, well, well, you know the entitlement with guys going to come in the league now. I'm surprised that some guys are like, man, I don't know if I want to play with Chicago Bulls.
Right. Yeah. Well, right now in a mock draft, R.J. Barrett is designated to go to Chicago at number 2. So,
well,
we'll see. More to come on that. Yeah. In that same mock, you may find it interesting. The Brooklyn Nets at 6 have them selecting Romeo Langford. So
that's real interesting. I don't want to get too hyped on Romeo Langford.
Not yet.
It's gonna be there's gonna be some development with him. He's an NBA pro. I watched a little bit of him this weekend. He's a pro, but if you're expecting him to be whomever, shooting guard, you know, plug in, you're going to be mistaken. He's still, like, at least 2 years away.
Ooh. Hoosier fans are not going to like that.
The Hoosier fans would love it because that would mean.
Well, yeah, they'd love for him to stay.
Maybe Romeo will stay, but he's not going to stay. Like,
no.
You can't. He's going to be an automatic first rounder, and you cannot walk away from $4 to $5 million.
Will he be a Noah Vonleh?
Like, forgotten type of guy?
Yeah.
Had the potential to then get passed around. Potentially, that's possible.
Yep.
That's possible. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, go ahead.
No. But, that's the win still. It's the win to them, you know. I cashed out.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thoughts on last night, LeBron D. Wade. I don't know if you saw any of the game or not.
Yeah, I watched a little.
I enjoyed it.
Man, did you? It's cool. You know, the hater in me says, man, finally the bromance is over, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just could not imagine that if Isaiah Thomas and Joe Newmar somehow ended up on two different teams, they would have this type of going away partners. If one of them retired or something like that, man. No, that's kind of cool because LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, they kind of did things their way. They are friends. We get it. They're friends on the court. They're friends off the court. They have a special relationship, and where they are actually best friends, man. They actually won a championship together, which is even kind of cooler, man, especially when guys sometimes obviously don't like one another on teams. But no, man, it's, you know, people, the media eats it up, and fans, if you love the NBA, you kind of eat it up. It does not, it's just not necessarily some of the type of basketball that, you know, people from the grew up in the, you know, grew up on the basketball in the 80s where people, you know, Larry Bird hated Bill Laimbeer, you know what I mean, quote unquote.
Right.
Or Charles Barkley throwing haymakers at Bill Laimbeer, you know, it's not necessarily that type of basketball that we're dealing with. But, you know, it's a good thing, man, you know. They had some, when they started showing all the highlights of them in Miami, I thought, man, I thought how fast that team was. Very fast with them two playing, they were fast. You know what I mean? You know, and that was when he was still flash, and he was still great. I'm talking about Dwayne Wade, but where I
tweeted it out last night. I think I will miss Dwayne Wade once he's gone. Like I liked him as a player. I really did.
Yeah, he irritated the hell out of you if he was a Pacer fan, right?
Absolutely.
He has a crazy step back, fade away, mid range jumper, and he can. And at one point, he had just as much athleticism as I would put him right somewhere. Not as much as LeBron, obviously, but he had just as much athleticism to finish around the rim just as Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's better than Kobe Bryant. There's some things that Kobe Bryant does better than almost Michael Jordan, right? But if I had to plug him in, Dwayne Wade's probably the third best shooting guard of all time.
Okay. Ooh, that's I like that. I would.
But you know, Brandon, it's a log jam. This, I mean, you're asking me, I can give you 3A, 3B, 3C for shooting guard. And like I said, he's probably the third best shooting guard of all time.
I would actually almost as well put, Dwayne Wade in for top five biggest headaches all time for the Indiana Pacers. Let me go ahead and give you my five all-time biggest headaches for Indiana. Number one, LeBron James. I actually think LeBron gave Pacers and Pacers fans more headaches than Michael Jordan. I got Jordan at number two, counting regular season and playoffs. And
knocked out Reggie Miller.
And number three, I have a combination, or actually number three, I have Patrick Ewing. Just the type of how he was knocking out Indiana in those years, and even back when you go 99 and 2000 even. So I have Ewing in at three. Four, I have Shaquille O'Neal. And you can put a slash Kobe, but I more put Shaq because I'm thinking of his Orlando Magic days when the 95 Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana, and then also the 2000 NBA Finals against the Pacers as well. So I think Shaq would be number four on my list for biggest headaches for the Pacers. And number five, I guess I got to say you take your pick between Tayshaun Prince or Chauncey Billups ending Reggie Miller's career.
It had to be Tayshaun Prince, right?
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah.
So I just know, I don't think anybody's ever thought of that, of who were the top five biggest headaches for Indiana all time. And when I sat there and thought about it, is it LeBron? Is it Jordan? I think it's LeBron because of the more opportunities and just how many times we got close but just couldn't get over the hump. And with Michael Jordan, it was only a couple years where Indiana, you know, really took on Jordan and the Bulls and struggled.
Our rivalry was more so with the Knicks during those years.
Right. And speaking of Michael Jordan, real quick, I've got some listeners at my new job now that are listening. And we had an argument the other day regarding the 1990s NBA. And I'm glad that I've got you on because nobody knows 1990s NBA basketball or even the 80s like you. My argument was Michael Jordan, when he quote-unquote retired in 1993, it wasn't because he was done with basketball. It wasn't because his dad died. You know what it was? It was because the NBA was going to suspend him for his gambling problem. And he got the NBA some hot water. And you know what they did at that time? They took care of their own. And he said, you know what, Michael? Just go away for a little bit and come back.
I'll tell you what. David Stern is a very smart man. And there is a lot of what you say. I do think a lot of the other things factored into him retiring as well, though. Like he needed a break. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You cannot imagine being Michael Jordan at that time. So you are – at that time, I was going through some old magazines. I don't know how many magazines during that time. Ebony, Time Magazine. Sports Illustrated. You know, out of the months, he's the greatest, and nobody asked the question. But I wonder if he ever thought he was the greatest during that time. But regardless, so I think everything kind of factored into. You're right, what you're saying about the gambling, and you couldn't have that because the way that Major League Baseball handled Pete Rose is horrible.
They don't take care of their people. Major League Baseball does not take care of people. And I got plenty of examples. We talked about Pete Rose.
It's slippery slope when you say take care of your people because you don't want to take care of somebody if they committed a crime. Okay?
Okay.
But we're not talking about a crime that's being committed. We're talking about something that's technically against the rules of the establishment because it could be
no crime, just rule breaking.
Right. Rule breaking according to the league that you play in. I get that.
Exactly. And that's why I have a problem with Major League Baseball, because whether it be Bud Selig, whether it be the commissioner now, I can't even think of his name, Rob Rob, I can't think of his last name. But you bring up Pete Rose, gambling problem. What did Major League Baseball do? They went in, boom, big ban. Pete Rose was Major League Baseball for a great time. Okay.
A long time.
So in the late 90s, you can't tell me Major League Baseball did not know and they turned an eye to Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and even Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez and all these people taking these steroids to get their ratings up. They knew it was happening. And what they do, once they finally word start getting out, they turn their back to their players and they slap them with all these suspensions and such. And they're like, oh, we had no idea. That I was comparing that to how basketball takes care of their own with Michael Jordan when he had his gambling thing. And David Stern was very strategic to get him away from the sport for a bit.
Man, you cascaded a lot there, Brandon.
I did. I got on a roll.
Like I said, David Stern took care of the league and he took care of Michael Jordan. They made him sit out for a while. And then when he came back, he showed that he was still the baddest basketball player you ever seen. So you've seen LeBron James. But
yeah.
I just thought
it was interesting. And I said that was the reason. So.
No, it was a lot of factors, man. Like his father passing away and, you know, the gambling and, you know, just being tired, man.
I mean, it was notorious that Jordan was a gambler. I mean, the stories that you've seen and you've read were on the back of the planes. And and believe it or not, a lot of people have said Michael Jordan's an asshole in person. He's not the greatest person.
Well, that,
you know,
again, right. Very arrogant. Very arrogant.
Yeah. Absolutely. Moving ahead to the Pacers. Oladipo returned to practice today, which is a good sign that he'll be returning soon. The Pacers have done pretty well. We won a 5-game winning streak right now. Looking good. Miles Turner, he played well the other night. Kept them out from losing the game last night. I think it was last night or Sunday night. And I think it's because of the ponytail, personally, that he does with his hair. But no, the coaches did say they wanted him to be more active on the defensive end. The offense would come to him, but he needs to be more active on the defensive end. I think we've seen that here in the last 3 or 4 games. So I like what we've got with the Pacers so far with Oladipo just now coming back. Because last year, with Oladipo out, the Pacers were 0-7. And this year, we're looking pretty good without him. And it's just, him coming back is just going to help the team more.
Yeah, I think they're a little tad bit over 500. The good news is there's nothing structurally wrong with Victor Oladipo's knee. I think they kind of coaxed him in with rest to bring him in. We have an I lamented last call. The Pacers got a lot of depth, and now Miles Turner is kind of developing into we're not going to say star player, but he's developing into a potential star player. And we still got Sabonis, and the team's real deep. Team's real deep.
Absolutely. DeMarcus Cousins, he was assigned to the G League team, so his return is going to be coming pretty quick to this Warriors team that's just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. Be interesting to see how he mixes with them.
It'd be really interesting. What did Sacramento gave up? Sacramento gave up. No, I'm sorry. New Orleans gave up Buddy Hield and like some future first rounders for him.
Yes.
And then New Orleans got nothing. They got nothing with him with his departure.
The team announced Monday. Oh, this was the trade. The Pelicans acquired Cousins and Omar Caspi. They sent Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, and a 2017 first round and 2017 second round pick for the Kings. So the first round pick in 2017 would have been, let's see, trying to figure out who they got at 2017. I want to say.
My point is.
De'Aaron Fox.
I think I think Anthony Davis plays out this season, and then they see he sees how far he can get with this Pelicans team. There's going to be another change next summer.
Okay.
It's going to be another landscape change.
Is he going east or is he going west, staying west?
There's going to be a tug of war for that.
You think he could end up in the Big Apple?
Danny got the pieces. Danny got the pieces to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But
does he break up the band?
I think he wants to go play in California.
Okay. Well, you left it open to three teams.
Brandon, have you been watching ESPN? There's a lot of things that come with LeBron James and playing in L.A. All that movie stuff and oh my goodness,
yeah,
to become a superstar, not just a basketball star, a superstar.
And
so
that's what AD wants.
There's going to be a tug of war for Anthony Davis services because I don't know the food in New Orleans. I've never been. I'm sure it's great. I heard nothing but positive things about New Orleans food.
The food's been good. I've been down there.
And the culture, right? And the fight. But man, it's going to be a tug of war for his services because Danny got the pieces.
Okay, interesting. We'll put that on the bookmark.
Put that in the bookmark. It's going to be a tug of war for his services. Unfortunately, it's not to say what the organization's put together for Anthony Davis and the pieces. That's a good team they got around him, but I don't think they're quite that good enough.
This one will make you laugh because it's been a train wreck all season already. Rockets are interested in J.R. Smith?
They might as well get J.R. Reed back, too.
Why don't they add J.R. Ryder?
I went back all the way to North Carolina. Yeah, I missed J.R. Ryder. Get all of them. Get all the J.R.s and hopefully. Nah, man. They just want to make a mess. They're done. They're done for the season.
There it is. Now, you know what happens last time you said somebody was done?
They're done. They can't do anything. They don't defend well, which we already know. They don't do anything. They'll have big games.
Right.
From an individual standpoint, but they can't stop nobody.
That's true. They can't do anything on there's no end in sight.
Chris Paul in and out of Chris Paul guaranteeing somebody can't nobody beat 4 out of 7. Like, dude, you're in and out of lineup. It doesn't matter. He makes them a better team, but with him being often injured, and then he's a step older now, they're done.
Yep. And nights will be interesting. The Trailblazers take on the Rockets tonight. So Dame could keeps it rolling tonight. It'd be interesting to see if he can do it. Did we talk about George Hill getting traded? I think we did.
I mean,
it was the best. I think you said it was the best thing that he had happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, because we talked about John Henson. That's right.
Yeah.
You were questioning why they let go of him so quickly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Couple things to finish up on, and I'm looking at our college football once again that we're not talking about. We'll most likely next week before Christmas, the week before Christmas, next week will be our last show after the holiday. Next week we will devote to pro football and college football bowl season. We'll devote next week to the college football bowl talk. I promise everybody we'll do it then. Last two things I can think of. I did watch the Austin promo that you sent me. That was good. That was damn good. And I told you, that reminded me of a CM Punk-esque, and I think it was better than CM Punk's, honestly. Because back then, he was calling out a whole different organization, and that was uncalled for back then.
Yeah, it was, in ECW, you could get away with it.
Right.
Because everybody liked Paul. Paul was in talent up north as a WWF, or Paul was in talent down to WCW, and they would do it. Sometimes they would do a talent exchange. WWF did never do talent exchange, but WCW would send cats. I'll send you that video too. Cactus Jack Mick Foley was wrestling for WCW, but they didn't have nothing for him because, you know, he ain't the prettiest pig, you know, on the block. So they didn't have nothing for him to do. So they did a talent change where they sent him in ECW. But he was at one point, he was like one half the world tag team champions with Kevin Sullivan, and he spit on the title when he spit on the title doing a promo, which was kind of cool. But the big wigs at WCW thought ill of it, and they took it as a disrespect. And when he got back, got in trouble. He got suspended for like 30 days. So they sent him back to ECW. They took the titles off him and Sullivan and sent him back to ECW. That's why ultimately he ended up working for WWE.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. I liked when he was making fun of the American Dream, Dusty. Oh, no,
yeah.
We're not going to give you that. Dusty, hold them back.
Well, you know, Dusty was, you know, Booker, and Dusty played, you know, all those things are interesting because they involve, you know, sports politics or sports entertainment politics. And Dusty, I was assuming, probably had to appease Ric Flair because I'm pretty sure at that time Dusty wasn't an active wrestler. He was not.
Correct.
But he probably had to appease Ric Flair. He probably had to appease Hulk Hogan because those were the guys making the company all the money and all the success that they were having. At that time, they had jumped. I think at that time, I want to say they had jumped into making as much noise as the WWE. I don't think at that time they were number one when Stone Cold got fired. He got fired. He was pissed. He went down to ECW. He cut the best promo he ever cut in his whole life, and he's cut some great promos, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was from the heart, but it wasn't mean. Like, CM Punk, I like CM Punk. CM Punk often was mean because, like, I get it. He told the truth, though, Brandon. Vince McMahon, CM Punk was the best wrestler during that time. And because Vince jobbed him out to The Undertaker, Vince jobbed him out to The Rock, Vince jobbed him out to wrestler didn't want to, you know, a wrestler that only wrestled annually and not every day.
Lesnar.
He said he had no problem driving to Lesnar. He said he understood, you know, or whatever. He didn't want to job.
Well,
They wanted him to do one more job to Triple H, and he didn't want, and that's why, unfortunately.
Right. And he was pissed at Ryback. They wanted him to have a thing with Ryback. Yeah, and Ryback was reckless.
Very reckless. Unfortunately, I hope, as a wrestling fan, here's what I hope, Brandon. Unfortunately, Macho Man Randy Savage passed away before him and Vince McMahon could bury the hatchet, or whatever happened between him and Vince McMahon.
Or Stephanie.
Okay. Everybody, even from Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, I appreciate what they do. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate when they get up there and talk about their sports entertainment lives and how they met Vince and how they came to be working with WWE, so on and so forth. I appreciate it. Randy Savage didn't get that chance. So Randy Savage, I consider him one of the greatest wrestlers that ever wrestled. Entertain. You know what I'm saying? He's right up there with the Showstopper. He's right up there with Ric Flair. He's right up there with whoever. John Cena, you name it. Mm-hmm. Cena is too. Cena may not have the charisma of Hulk Hogan. He might not have the, you know, the oddity of Andre the Giant. You know what I mean? But he's just as good as Chris Jericho. I'm talking about what he can do. He's just as good as Bret Hart. And he would, you know, he did what he could do with what he had, you know what I mean? So
right.
He put on great 5-star matches, and all he wanted to be was main event WrestleMania. And that didn't happen, unfortunately, for him. But, like, now him and Vince are on the odds and, like, out on the outs. And it's, like, unfortunately, you know, I mean, Brandon, I don't want to bring down a whole Rommel drama. Life ain't promised for tomorrow. You know, wrestlers, man, it's crazy because there's a high morality rate with them. For obvious reasons. So, like, why you know, at some point he has to, you would assume he has to come back, because here Vince owns all of your wrestling catalog that you can make money on, right? So eventually you want to have him. Eventually you want to have CM Punk come back, maybe wrestle a match or two, maybe he gets put over. Who knows? Maybe the cards turn, right? And then get your, you know, your gold, another gold mode. But Vince can't trust you because he don't know what you're gonna say.
And he got a lawsuit against WWE.
Correct.
I mean, it took some time for Hogan to come back to WWE after he filed that lawsuit against Vince.
Correct. I was gonna say correct. So, but at some point, like, Vince is a billionaire and he owes you millions and millions of dollars, or he potentially could owe you millions and millions of dollars. So why would you continue? You know what I mean? So hopefully, I hope they can bury the hatchet at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. It was and then I watched, and I sent you the picture the other day. I watched a hell of a main event between Sting and Hogan at that Starrcade. Bret Hart was the enforcer of it. That was good. What was your favorite? Who was your favorite Sting? Probably the 89, 90 Sting?
Yeah, my favorite Sting. You got to understand, man. I watched Sting. First time I seen Sting, I was in the seventh grade. I'm 44 years old now. So the first time I seen him, I was in the seventh grade. And he was rushing for the Mid-South. It was a company that got absorbed by the which became WCW. But yeah, he was the high flying Sting, with the buzz cut tail, face paint, war paint, yelling, screaming, and then go out to the wrestling ring. Well, you know, shoot a promo saying what he was going to do about picking the prep, you know, and for the little stingers. He was kind of like a miniature Hulk Hogan, sort of.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he go out there and do it. But he, you know, the good thing is that he was able to transition his gimmick or whatever, because you can't, dude. There's no way you couldn't like the Crow Sting either, right? He, what did he start? I remember my favorite Sting moment from the black and white Sting is when he bungee jumped from a helicopter into the ring. We had nothing to do with wrestling. It just had to do with him, incredibly, him having the balls to pull off the stunt and then you know fall into place. So, but yeah, my favorite Sting is the old Sting.
Okay, interesting. Did you watch the? I guess you did. You did watch the 2002 Western Conference Finals that we talked about last week. That Game 6.
You know, there was a strain. It looked like it was a strain in order to foul calls for the Lakers. And it looked like they forced it. Yeah, it really looked like they forced the Game 7. And we all know what's in Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, it was with Weber, and you can't tell me that one block that they when they blocked Kobe. And they called that foul. Bibby hit the ground, and it was like you seen all their faces. Like, this is an absolute joke. And it was interesting. I couldn't keep my eyes off of it. Make sure you're available March 19th. We will not have a show March 19th. I will tell you that right now. The reason why we will not have a show, me and you, and my buddy who always goes with me. We are going to WWE SmackDown here at Banker's Life. Announced today, March 19th, WWE is back at Banker's Life SmackDown. Jonathan Birdsong's first event, and God knows how long will be
Brock
March 19th. He's not going to be on SmackDown, so you get to see AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ's going to be the champ.
Well, I don't know. He might be.
Take
Daniel Bryan?
I think Daniel Bryan's still the champ. I think he'll still be the champ by then.
Okay. But keep your calendar open for that. That's right around WrestleMania season. So
who knows
who will be back. And tonight, if you're looking for something on TV, there's no real big sporting events on or anything that's crazy. But I'm looking forward here at 9 o'clock. Tyson versus Buster Douglas from 1990, 42-1 was the odds.
Oh, man.
30 for 30. It's going to be a great one tonight, I think.
Stayed up late that night. That game, that fight was on. Came on HBO, and it was just another night, man. Everybody just knew Mike Tyson was gonna knock another guy out, and it did not turn out to be that way. It turned out to be something special.
Yeah, I remember watching. Actually, I remember watching this fight. I was 5 years old, and I remember watching this fight with my uncle, My uncle was a boxer himself, and he was a big Mike Tyson fan. And I remember being at his house, and we were watching so many Mike Tyson fights over the years and such. And I remember this fight, I remember his reaction. I remember him freaking out when Tyson got beat by Buster Douglas. And I'm, you know, as big of a fan as I liked Tyson when I was watching him all through the years. So he got a little crazy there at the end, but you know, I'm happy to say I got to meet him a couple years ago when he was here in Indianapolis staying, when he was doing his comedy routine. He was staying at a place where I used to work, and I was able to meet him. Very nice guy. I was more nervous about his bodyguards than I was him met him. Very nice dude. But yeah, if you're looking for something to watch, you can even find on the ESPN Plus app if you're listening to this after tonight. But definitely the 42-1 on ESPN at 9 o'clock. Right now they're showing the last days of Night, the Bob Knight one with Neil Reed choking. That's on right now. So another good one to watch.
Watch it at your discretion.
Yeah, watch at your discretion. Any last things for you?
Like I say, I appreciate people following Crossroads Sports and following Three Foolish Man. I appreciate everybody listening, taking the time. I do get feedback on my end from people, my girlfriend, and my friends included. I got criticism. They said, man, dude, you talked about Walking, but everybody's not a Walking Dead fan like me and you, Brandon. So I got a little. I said, man, they said, somebody said they tuned out. Listen to after I said, well, I apologize. I said, next time I'll make sure we talk about Game of Thrones or something like that.
Well, yeah. Well, what do they want to listen? What do they want to hear? Let us know what you want us to talk about, and we'll do it.
You're right. But no, I like I said, I appreciate everybody listening, because I really do.
Good. Perfect. You know, I like having you on, and we'll continue it for the foreseeable future. I got nothing stopping us from doing it. So, but thanks for joining, John. We'll, like I said, we'll be back on next week. We'll do college football and pro. That's going to be it next week. Those two things will lead you into the holidays. Christmas, we will not be here because it is Christmas Day, I believe, that Tuesday. So we won't be doing it then. Some homework for you, John. Next Tuesday when we do the show, I need your top five or your top three Christmas movies. So that's your homework. To figure that out, and we'll go from there. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, partner. Take care. Have a good week.
All right. You too. Take care.
That was Jonathan Birdsong once again joining us at Three Foolish Men on Twitter. Be sure to follow him. We'll hit a quick ad again, and we'll finish up.
Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights.
All right, guys. Once again, thank you for joining us this evening. Be sure to check us out on our Facebook page. Listen to the podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Brandon Reeve, and then at Crossroads Sports on Twitter as well. We'll be back again with you guys next week leading into the holidays. Everybody have a safe and great week. We'll see you next week.
Crossroads Sports.